This episode is brought to you by our sponsors, Well Hydrate.
Electrolytes and protein waters packed with nutrients and vitamins.
Hi everyone and welcome back to Sims Squared Podcast.
Today we're joined by Meatball Molly.
Well done on the intro.
Oh, thanks.
Professionals.
We are professional.
We're not just a pretty face. Right, we've got like the first question we want to ask you is about the Meatball Molly name. Where did it come from?
Right, let me throw back at you. And I'm not going to take offence, but if someone was called Meatball Molly, why would you think they was called that?
Meatball.
A little bit round.
Yeah, that's, yeah, like, stuck, everyone knows I've got a derby on me, like, I've got a bit of a gut.
No,
not anymore, but, well, maybe today, but when I fight, not anymore, but when I grew up, I didn't get a loan for university, so I went to uni, regardless of any of yous at home, believe it did or didn't, I got a degree, and when I went to uni, I didn't get a student loan. I got a loan to pay for the degree, but not for one to live, and I had to work at Subway, so I used to go to uni like 9 till 4, work all the night, and then in the morning just before uni I'd go back to gym, and my coach Paul once went, "Fucking hell, who stinks of meatballs?" And I was like, "Oh, me." And that was it. He went, "Oh, you smell like a meatball," and then Meatball Molly just stuck. But when I go to America, they all think, because I'm like a little round little ball of meat, they all go, "Oh, I get it. I'm like, mate, that's really not it, because I smell like them. But I mean, I never really smelled like them. It was more bread. The bread, like, do you know when you go into Subway?
The bread, the Italian.
Yeah. Oh, I love everything.
Italian herb and cheese.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, I used to stand on the front, and we used to call it the head of the line. And I'd be like, "Hi, welcome to Subway. What can I get you today?" And they go, "Where is that?" And then we had to try and upsell. So be like, "Oh, do you want a foot long?"
Is that what they do?
So you've got to upsell.
Like cheese.
As upsell, so I'd be cutting the hinge and go, "Oh, which bread?" And they go, "Italian herb and cheese." I go, "Oh, is that a foot long?" Yeah. And you're told to be like, "Yeah," at the end, to like coerce them into saying, "Yeah, go on then." And they'd be like, "Right." And then I was like, "Do you want cheese?" And they'd be like, "Yeah." I was like, "What about extra cheese?" And they go, "Go on." So that's another 50p on each 6-inch. And they go, "Do you want a toasted?" And they give you a little toasted fee.
What you have to charge for to toast the bread?
Well, look, I don't work there no more, but that's what it was at one point, honestly.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I know. It's all
manipulating people and spending the 50p.
Yeah.
Bending arms back and that. No, but and then I go, you add all your bits at the end and then you take them to the till. I'm like, "Can I make it a meal deal? Go on." "Go on, you want a cookie or do you want crisp?" And they
Works
go,
"Out cheaper."
You know how nice the cookies are in there?
Oh, they're
white chocolate macadamia.
Have you seen the foot long cookies?
What?
The foot long cookie.
Have you seen the foot long cookie that they've just started doing?
Since I left, listen, do you know when I was in Vegas with Connor, well, not with Connor and your dad, but we was both there at the same time. We were trained together at the same time in the UFCPI. And I remember that day just before I went to training, I was walking and they had like a foot long cookie and they had like a foot long garlic bread. And I was thinking,
I think it's a pretzel.
Is it a pretzel?
It's a pretzel. Yeah.
Something else I was looking going, "Oh, they've come a long way."
Yeah.
You know, like I left in 2010 or 2011. Do you know what I mean? So we're talking about a bit of a long time. I'm 33 now, but that was my prime, girls.
It's a good nickname, though. Yeah, I feel like everyone remembers that, especially like when you're fighting. Like, that's a good rememberable name.
Yeah, don't me and Paddy, our coach gave us both the names. At the same time, he literally went, "Oh, you're the little baddie." And it was like, "Paddy the baddie." And then it was like, "Oh, Meatball." And like, even my fiance now, she'll go, "All right, Meats." Or she'll call me Meatball. "What are you doing, Meatball?" I'm like, "Stop calling me that." Like,
I feel like having those names, though, like where it just sticks in everyone's head. You can't
get away from it.
Even like Paddy the baddie, like we don't watch UFC, me and Demi. Yeah. We just watch boxing.
But we know of him.
We know of you. Just because your names, you can't forget it.
I know. It's half good, but like me and Nan hate it.
Yeah.
Me mum hate it. You'd never hear them two call me that, but I do think like I have a bit of persona with it,
like a stage name.
And like you hear it all the time, like Beyonce would go, "Oh, when I'm Sasha Fierce," like when I'm the Meatball, I'm like a bit of bravado. I'm going out there and I'm gonna go and try and knock this bird out, and I'm gonna have to be as like a scouse. Like for me, Meatball's like a proper scouser, in your face lady. Gonna try and knock it out for fuck all. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, it is. It's a scary name. If someone called Meatball Molly was coming towards me, I'd run
the other way. But you wouldn't want to be called Meatball, like girls wouldn't really like that, do you know what I mean?
No, but it's not really a feminine name, but no, you know what? It's made
me a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
Because they never sponsored me. Do you know what I thought? They went, would you, when I first got signed to the UFC, they put a big like poem out about me on their Twitter, and I thought, they're cheeky bastards, because they've never once come to me. Like, 6 years of work there, I was a team leader in a 24-hour gaff. We was the third busiest in the world. Like, I earned me stripes in there. I thought, not once have you tried to fucking sponsor me there, you kangaroo. So then I thought, I won't ever speak about yous again.
Tight asses. Subway, if you're listening.
Subway.
Get on it.
That's a liberty. Yeah. She should have her own perfume brand out. Meatball money.
I know.
Smell like meatballs.
No, that's... You go into a nightclub. Hey, going into a nightclub, and then you go to the toilet and the woman's going, meatball. Be like
that's
that.
How you got your name, though, because you smell meatballs. So tell us more about your trainer. So your trainer called you Meatball Molly and Paddy the Baddie.
Yeah.
So he's been training you both alongside each other for how long now?
Me, it was 11 years last week. Paddy, it was 13.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so I was an amateur boxer. I grew up in Liverpool, won a national title. That was going to be me. And then in 2010, they made the weight categories for the Olympics for the London Games, and mine wasn't it. So I thought, jibby, I'm not going to box no more. If you're not going to the Olympics and there was no professional, I thought, what am I doing? So I went to uni and discovered alcohol. And I was like,
what did you study at uni?
Like PE teaching, sport development and physical education, obviously. And I was like, I'll go and be academic, do you know what I mean? And everyone was like, yeah, all right. Yeah. I was like this, I put my glasses on, right, I go into the library and all I do was speak to everyone because I knew everyone. So when, right, when you go into a nightclub and you'll know everyone, and when you walk in and you go, you've got to work your way around, that was me in the library. Like, everyone would be in, like, headphones in, like, proper work, and I'm going, you're all right, lad? Oh, what chapter are you reading? Hey, can I copy that? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just...
You're not even meant to speak in the library, are you, guys? Like, she comes in, Meatball Molly, rolling in.
Well, no one even believed, like, I was a lot littler, than, like, I went.
I didn't mean it like that.
I was a lot littler in with muscle, but I was dead fat because I just used to drink Guinness and cider at uni. And when I used to go in, people would be like, they'd be like, do you know, if they was getting towards the end of like essay, they'd be like, get me ball over here, I can't be arsed no more. And we had like 24-hour library, so I'd finish Subway at 11 and then go to the library at like 11:30, bring everyone snacks. I'm like, who wants a Subway? Let me know, bring them in. And it was just a really boss time. But my coach, Paul Rimmer, he's only about 8 years older than me, and he's about 10, 11 older than Paddy. And he kind of learned on the job with us, you know, like we was his first kind of world champions, and then we got signed to the UFC, and I always kind of say, and so does he, was like, Molly's lost a few times in the UFC, and when Paddy lost in Cage Warriors, that's when I learned the most lessons. So the team doesn't have to go through them moments again. Do you know what I mean? So like, I lost via this way, or Paddy lost via that way, and he was like, right, how can we make that better? And and when we walked in the gym, he's kind of being like, the second you walk in, he's like, what's your goals? And if it's just like, I just want to get better at training, he's like, right, that class. And I said to him when I walked in, I want to be a world champion, coach. I want to make something of myself, this, and this. He's like, right, go and train with the pros. I was like, I've never done this before. He went, you can punch me, ball, come on. I was like, all right. And he's kind of like the father figure I've maybe lacked. And Paddy's best friend is his dad, but in certain ways, Paul is like a dad to him. You know your dad, you know how close he is with Con and that, or with Maze, or with John. He's kind of like... It's this unwritten rule that, like, the fighters kind of nearly get put before his family members. So, especially when I go away to fight some things and Paul will come away for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, I always send his family a message, like his wife, I go, thanks very much for letting Paul, or when I win, thanks very much for sacrificing his time with yous for me. Because, like, obviously, like, it's a big thing, do you know what I mean? And it's quite unforgiving, do you know what I mean? He will have missed loads of birthdays or this, that, and the other because, I've got this fight camp, I've got to go here, or, he's fighting or she's fighting, I can't be there. Yeah. And the families just accept it because that's what's bringing the bread in at the end of the day, but still still tough to take, you know.
You know, you say like when you lost, like you lost two fights in a row, didn't
twice
you?
I've done that, by the way.
I bet you.
How did you feel like being so close with your trainer? How did you feel seeing him in the gym like the following week? Was you kind
I couldn't
of, like,
even go, but like, do you know when I lost, it's the same, there's Paul Ellis and whoever my striking coaches at that time will come in, because they're both my MMA coaches. And especially the last time, I was saying to mate, because Maisie was there, Sky Nicholson was there, like Stormzy was there, Maya Jammer was there, so many high people who I know in the world was there, as well as all the working class people who've paid. I was saying, like, this is just a scouser, right? They're going to get their outfit, the makeup, the train, the hotel, the ale. Like, that comes to a grand before they've even bought the ticket. Mm-hmm. And you think, when you're talking about working class people, that could be their holiday for the year, just for one fight.
So do you feel like a certain pressure on your shoulders to deliver for them?
Yeah, and especially when I fight here, I'm like, I've got to do this for yous. Mm-hmm. And when I lost that last fight, we walked into the back, like, my arm was broken. I was just like, I'm done, coach. I'm so sorry. I said, I am so fucking sorry. None of us seen that coming, because I fought this girl called Julia Storyalenko. She'd won every fight via armbar, and I've always just been a puncher. And in MMA, if the puncher can't knock the grappler out in the first 2 minutes, it's likely that the grappler, it's just styles make fights, and the grappler just has like this way of wearing you down, locks you in. That's kind of you done, you know. And we know that's the way it is, but I'm just honest, I'm raw, and I'm like, I've never turned a fight down. So the UFC don't give you like a choice of people. Oh, who would you like to fight? They go, this day, this person, this week.
So like with boxing, you kind of get a choice, don't you?
Oh, there's no choice.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I was saying to Maisie before, I was like, in the UFC, before you get there, people are normally world champions in their own discipline, and then they come to MMA, win a world title, and then come to the UFC. So that's normally like two-time world champions. And if you think mixed martial arts isn't one Olympic discipline like boxing, it's four. So when they say like to be an elite athlete, you need to do 10,000 hours, I've had to do times four of that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
so
a lot, yeah.
It's a lot. And I just remember, like, I didn't go into the gym for like 4 or 5 weeks. I was just like, I think I'm done here, coach.
Really?
And it was in London, and the next day we was getting on the train to go home. My coach Adam and my fiance Ellis was like, how do you feel? I was like, I'm just done. I was like, I like, girls, honestly, I give so much to the game, like to the media side, to the fighting side, to the training side, to the community side. Like, I couldn't try and elevate the sport or me training or put it on a pedestal as much as what I do.
It's your life, and you know that.
Yeah. Like, people behind the screen and people who don't know fighting and combat sport don't understand it, but you get it. But I was just like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. And he went, can you just ask me one thing? I went, go on. He went, I'll never let you get into trouble or go into danger or compromise yourself. But I believe you can be a world champion. Will you do me one thing? And I was like, yeah, what? And he went, drop a weight category. Now, in MMA, it's every £10. Like, in boxing, it's £3 or £4.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot.
It's nearly a stone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I went, oh, I don't know if I can do it. And he went, how much do you want to be a world champion? I said, with everything that's in me being. He went, we'll do it. I went, yes, coach, all right. So the next day after that fight, I flew to Ireland and I stayed with my family for a couple of days and was out drinking Guinness and, like, being just a normal person. And then I thought, right, fuck it, let's go. And then I flew to Thailand for 4 weeks, trained out there, came back, done a bit of a jiu-jitsu competition. So the same way in which I'd been beat in them two fights, I'd done strictly jiu-jitsu, so strictly something that I'm shite at or not so great at. I've done a professional match, beat the girl with an armbar, same way I've lost them two fights. And then I was like, right, I'm ready for it. And then I kind of like ran until I was a proper skinny bitch and then had that fight.
And then you absolutely smashed it, didn't you? You come back with a bang, you won, and then you're on top of the world now, aren't you? So
it's crazy, isn't it? Because, like, do you know when you look at, like, AJ or even Conor or, like, who's the other one, Tyson Fury, when you've lost, even though Tyson's never lost in the ring, he's like he lost face in the fact of he was getting off his head all the time. He had mental health problems, mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. So he'd lost face with the world. And everyone kind of will always turn your back on you when you get to a certain level, and people think that they have this entitlement to be like, no. And they like people think they can put their opinion on you. And then the second you show a bit of resilience, adversity, grit, determination, come back and win, everyone's on your dick. And it's kind of like, I was literally saying before, I met an Irish man in the pub and I was like, lad, you know, 5 weeks ago I was getting told to kill myself, my mum's this, my beard's that. Hey, and then I won that fight. Normally you'd expect a few bad ones. Yeah. Like yourselves, you'd expect a hate. Not one thing on my Instagram is bad. And I was just like, before that fight, I had quite a lot of therapy, right? And I was speaking with Connor on fight week and your dad. And he was like, right, what have you done different? Because you've lost two and can't, if you lose this, this is it. And I went, I don't care. And Connor was like, what do you mean you don't care? And I went, I don't give a fuck. And he was like, no, but you've got to care a little bit. I went, I don't, Connor said, because to see the people who are clapping for me, they're not clapping no more, so I don't care. And I said, see the people who used to hate me, don't hate me no more. And the new people now hate me. I said, I'm not fighting for them, and I'm not fighting for them. I'm fighting for me. I'm not even fighting for my family no more. And I'm not sure if you've seen it, but even when I went to make weight, normally I'm like leery and I get in their face. And I think the fight can be won and lost in the stadium. Yeah. And I just looked at, when I was walking, like normally my heart's going 10 to the dozen. I'm like, I'm going to have to front this girl so she doesn't think that I'm scared. And I just walked out with my hands behind my back like I was someone out of the mafia. And I shook her hand and I thought, I'm not fighting you, I'm fighting me. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is me v me, this isn't me v you, you know? And as she's gone to stare down, I just turned and proper legged her and looked down the camera and I was just like, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. And then I done the same on the walkout. I had a friend who was in a tragic accident in the gym a couple of months ago when he got paralysed. So he was paralysed from the neck down. And I said, lad, I know you've never made the UFC, but I'm going to walk out to your ring walk. So it was a Run This Town by Rihanna and Jay-Z. And I was like, he was going, right, meatball, you're up next. And then I could hear, like, hear it coming in the air and all that. And I was like, I was looking at my coaches and I went, I'm going to go and fucking change my life. And they went, yes, you are, meatball. And I just put my hands behind my back and walked out. And I gave my mum and my fiance and I went, and then I got in there and I was just calm and cool as ice. And I think sometimes, and you'll know this because of your family and that, fighters, when they fight for other people and other things, they put too much pressure on themselves and then they don't have good performances all the time. And then I just didn't, and I thought, I'm just gonna beat you everywhere, and I did, and then I won. And then,
like you say though, like having therapy made you realize that it's literally you versus you, and like you need to, I think the sooner like anyone in life blocks out everyone's opinions around them, the happier they are instantly. Yeah. But that's why I was asking you when you first come in, when you said you're 33, I was like, what's it like being in your 30s? Because I always hear that when people go into their 30s, they don't give a shit what anyone thinks about them anymore. They live for them. Mm-hmm. And like, apparently it's the happiest year.
Yeah, everyone says that 30s is the best year because you don't care anymore. Yeah. And like, sometimes like listening to your story, like sometimes like you do have to go to your rock bottom worst to figure out like what life actually means. And like, and in this state, or what's it,
circumstance,
no, but it's a state,
and in
though,
this,
yeah,
in this circumstance, like you've sort of had like a bit of an epiphany,
exactly,
and you've sort of like come back a different person and you've gone and smashed it, and and you've obviously been led down the right path now, and this is your path, like to drop a weight and become like world champion of this weight, like.
And also I think it's amazing that your coach was like, okay, you've lost, let's learn from that and let's improve, rather than being like, right, you've lost, you're out the squad.
It's just different in MMA because, like I say, like there's no such thing as a journeyman in MMA.
Right.
So like you'll know, right, because of your dad's game, you'll have, I'm not going to keep using Connor as an example, but you'll have a boxer and they just start as a pro and they've got to learn the pro rank. So they know the amateurs inside out, but it's a completely different game, different like techniques, different like ring craft, different generalship. Like they know so much there. So how are you going to learn that? Because pro boxing, prize fighting, it's all about money. So you have to be given these fights where these different journeymen or women are going to push you to them limits, and you're going to learn them lessons. And how do you overcome them in the ring? We don't have that. We're straight up killers. We're gladiators. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's tough. And the thing about MMA, and it is unforgiving, but the second you win, people are back on side, because you win one week and you lose one week. Mm-hmm. It's the same as football.
Yeah.
One person's going to win, apart from it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months until we next fight. But my gym's very, it might be a little bit like your dad's gym, but we're like a family. So when one of us lose,
you
the
all
gym
lose.
Feels yeah. it. And like, listen, do you know, when I lost that fight, like, I lost the fight in my being a boxer, my whole thing was about fighting in MSG, Madison mm-hmm. Square Garden. Oh my God, that's it for me. But they got beaten 2 minutes. 7 months later, do everything in my power to be a better person, better fighter, more in tune, done therapy, meditation, ice baths, like fucking everything, lose even faster than that time before. I'm sat there with the whole world just laughing at me, thinking, what do I do? And I've got a team around me. I'm very fortunate in that, which every single person believes me, and they're going to call me on my shit when I'm not.
Yeah.
You 5 minutes late today, what was that about? Or why are you doing these extra sessions?
Do you think you would have given up if you didn't have the team around you supporting you to go back
again? I was done in MSG. I was done the first time I lost.
Yeah.
I've lost 6 fights, but number 6 or number 5, I was like, I'm done, me. The second week I lost, I'd sold about 80 grand worth of tickets in MSG, and I just texted everyone when I got my phone saying, I'll meet you in Jack Doyle's. It was an Irish bar in New York. That's where I always go. And I went, nah, I'm done. And
just going home, yeah.
And then I went home, and I didn't come back to gym. And this was November 12th. Didn't come back to gym till the 10th of January. The only reason I came back that time is I'm a national team coach, so I coach the amateur England squad. And the World Championships was in February, and I'd agreed to go. So I'd held like a national squad session in the December. And I remember it's on camera. It's a vlog for the England team. When I walked in, I was coaching, and I just taught them something, and I went, I was going to give up fighting. I said, because of today and because of you, I'm not. Mm. And everyone was like, really? I went, you have inspired me today. And then I lost that next fight. And then I said to them all, I said, you've seen, I've give everything that I can. And I couldn't have done any more. And that still doesn't mean that you deserve to win. I said, but it's how you act after that. I couldn't have done it, girls. For that last fight, I lost 33 pounds. You're seeing, like, that's, I wouldn't say lot. The state of me, but you're seeing how good I looked on the scale and in the cage. And then I done the business, do you know what I mean?
But, a similar thing happened to your cousin, Katie Taylor, didn't it? Like, she was winning, and then she obviously lost and she had to drop weight as well. Yeah, so do you, like, speak about it, and do you, like...
She's so quiet.
Right.
And I'll only normally see her at boxing events. She's kept away. And I remember her mum sent me a message before the fight at MSG. And she's the inspiration for why that... any probably female fighter does what we do, you know what I mean? And I always look to her for strength. And I went to the first fight of her and Chantel. I've missed a fight for years. Honestly, like, went to New York to watch a fight at Amanda Serrano, everything. And I remember I watched the first fight when she lost, and I was just like, oh, fuck that, weighing in the cards. I thought, it weighing in the cards for me to lose in New York, weighing in the cards for you to lose, yeah. And then I flew over for the next fight, but I had to go back first thing in the morning. So I came the night before, I'd done a podcast, and then I went home in the morning because my training partner was fighting for a world title. And I was like, umming and ahhing, do I stay, do I go? And I went, this is going to sound horrible. I thought, I don't think she can win. It's going to be the same. I won't see her, I won't speak to her, she won't know I'm there. It doesn't matter me staying. And then I went, as I was watching my friend Liam Gittins win the world title, I had her on my phone watching. I was like, I'm mates with Chantel. I grew up boxing at England with Chantel and obviously Katie's family. So I was kind of like, I was so torn on who I wanted to win anyway. And then when she won, I was just like, fucking hell, let me go and eat my hat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, she won that fight. And then my mate Leah McCourt, who trains in our gym, she beat an OG. And we was in San Diego a couple of weeks after that. And I just thought that really gave me the confidence just to be like, I've seen two strong women here go against it all. Like, Katie doesn't really get much flack other than really her personality, because she's so calm, so quiet, she doesn't get involved in it. And I thought, the whole world switched on you. And then the second she won.
They loved her again.
Oh, I know. Mate.
It's crazy. We was talking to Connor about this, though. Yeah. And I said to him, like, you were so loved. And then as soon as the scandal come out when he was accused of, you know, like doping, he was so hated.
I was just like, and do you know how much I love Connor? Because he's like a man of God. I was like, you couldn't compromise him. He's not. You couldn't compromise him. And then when that came out, I was like, oh, he's a rat. Rat. Like, how have you fronted the world like that? How have you? And then when I spoke to him, obviously, when you speak to them on that. But you get behind the phone and it is me, like, someone in sport who hates that. And I was like, nah, look at him, blame it on X and all that. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, I wasn't having it. Mm. And then when I spoke to him, I was like, all right, I'm back on your side.
But he literally, even when he done like his interview with Piers Morgan and said like, this trolling is really like leading me down a dark, dark place. People were trolling underneath that video. And it's like, people don't actually realise what they do to athletes and like how their comments can affect you. And like, we have got therapy. Yeah, like there is therapy that you can go through to like block it out. But why should you?
Why should you even need it?
Why should you?
Do you know what was great? So you obviously know me and him fought. He fought at 3:30 and I fought at 4 o'clock in Las Vegas, the same time, like same day. And that week we'd been WhatsApping so much, and he'd done Ariel Helwani, and on the show, you just seen him for his rawness, because he was like, he puts too much of a front on sometimes, because that's the male ego, and it's like, I know I'm a fighter, I've got to do this, And then when he stripped it back, and he was just like, the second my dad went, I was ready. Like, I knew my place, I knew where I was going, I was ready to go and see, like, do it all in. And he got emotional, he started crying. And I messaged him, like, I'm so fucking proud of you.
Yeah.
I was like, that is such a strong thing to do in front of the world. No, but like, fucking Darren from Essex is probably going to go, oh.
Yeah.
What a wet wipe. Oh.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, but like, you look at that and you think, yeah, you've just owned yourself there. You've took power back for yourself there. You've took it away from them. When he's insecure about, or not him, but anyone, when you're insecure about what they're saying, it's going to harm you. But when you've dealt with it, it's not going to get you.
We were saying, weren't we, anyway, to Elle Brooke, like we were saying with Elle Brooke, she gets trolled bad.
I don't think she gives a fuck.
Just makes your algorithm better. It makes people know who you are more. Like, to be honest, you're just putting money in other people's pocket. Yeah.
I think Gemma Collins used to say, if people are talking about you good or bad, it's good. It's money. Yeah. It's like, as long as your name is circulating, that's all that matters. Yeah. But like, back to what you're saying about Connor crying, I think where you the fighters and you're just like seen as like with such a tough exterior, people don't expect you to have emotions inside. They don't think, oh, they're going to read these trolling comments and cry in bed tonight. Do you know what I mean?
It's different. There's levels of trolling. Do you know what I mean? You could get like, do you know when I lose my fights, when I get trolled for my performance, you've got every right to do that. But you know, when you want to come about my appearance or my personal life or what I've been through growing up or for any other which person, that's not cool. And literally, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of a podcast that's called High Performance Podcast, and it's when people go on and they talk about what they think is high performance. And it's with two lads, and they're very, very good in their field, and you have the best of the best athletes ever go on it. And just general successful people. And Jamila Paul, his name, went on it. And she's like a journalist, but she's very outspoken for trans people. And she will come across somewhat whiny because she's just always, always fighting for people who haven't got a voice. And I can understand why people are like, oh, well, she just shut the fuck up. You've got like war and genocide going on in Palestine and Israel. Like, can we just focus on that? And this fella literally wrote underneath it, went, scraping the barrel here, aren't we? And I never, ever comment on anyone's post, so I don't know if it's not positive. And I wrote, I expected more from the high performance listeners than that. And he messaged me, he private messaged me and went, this was today, this morning, he went, I've deleted that comment because what you're saying is actually right. And I went, listen, I said, there's people on this earth who I generally think, oh, dick. Like, you've got your Andrew Tate and things who my thoughts and my culture and what I stand for don't align with his. But I still wouldn't go, I'm right under Andrew Tate's stuff.
Yeah,
do, I'm just not like, you go and do you, I'm going to do me. Right, that's it. And I said, but what you've done there, I said, she's actually a really good journalist, a really good presenter, and she speaks for those who are downtrodden and no one speaks for. And I said, I think you bang out of order for that, but I'm going to say you're one hell of a man for putting your hands up and apologising and just, like, stating your claim. And he went, oh, thanks, meatball. And I was like, no, lad, like, fair play for being a decent human, because we can all be caught out in the trap. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who's doing well in life and is happy in themselves cast shadow or look at someone else and be like, oh, you're this, you're that. Like, girls, I haven't got the time. I've got businesses. I've got a fiancé to keep happy. I've got two dogs. I've got a gym. I've got to look, be looked up to like a role model. When have I got time to... Do you know, I support Everton Football Club. Shocking, dire, horrific at the minute, right? Even when a footballer in our squad has played horrific, I don't go on Twitter or X and I don't go, oh, shite performances, that and other. I might say to my mate, oh, that was awful, that, because I go and pay to watch the match.
You're a human being.
I go and pay to watch the match, but I'm not going to tell that person that. I'm not going to publicise it. I'm going to be disappointed in the performance.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start going, oh, look at what he was wearing. Look at his shorts. What's wrong with his hair? Like, I'm not going to go down that way because my mum raised me better than that.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But I think that's just like part of the culture today. Yeah. Like, it's trolling, it's having opinions, and it's like publicly posting them. People think
I'm trying
normal.
To shame them, and people are getting the kids now. I'm fucked for my kids and everyone else's kids, but people get gratification from likes and just being controversial. And now it's not even, you had to stay fact and prove the fact. Now you can just say what you want and people think it's the truth.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the only way...
is Essex. Is
the only way. No, I think the only way to just like never ever be affected is just to remember, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks about me. Yeah. As hard as it is. Yeah. But
you've got to do the work on yourself.
Yeah.
So when I was coming down today, I put a thing on my Instagram going, I've got time to answer questions. And someone went, how do you look after your mental health and that? And I was like, journal, meditate, therapy. Like, it's not a weakness, it's your biggest strength to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Well, hopefully the people listening to this will leave us some nice comments.
Yeah. Hopefully. If not, she's going to fucking have a bad night.
We're going to stick you in there, meatball Molly. Yeah. You don't want that.
Before we close this up as well, we just want to ask you if you've got anything exciting coming up.
I know that the UFC, I've not got nothing locked in, but every July they fight in England, every July... They normally go to London, but they book in Manchester. I pretty much believe when that date gets announced, then you'll hear that I'll have a fight there.
And is there anyone that you've got your eye on that you would like to fight?
So anyone who's ranked in the world, anyone who's got a number next to the name. Because I've come down from the weight above. It's like, look, I'm 33. I've had 12 fights in the UFC. There's not much more I need to learn. Obviously, you can still learn every day, but the weight and me being outsized was the issue. That was all. So now I'm here. Whoever you want to give me.
Yeah, she'll take on anyone. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Watch out, guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You've been amazing. I could have sat here and spoke to you all day, by the way.
Well, you have done a really good job. Well done, girls.
Thank you. Yeah, we're turning into good listeners.
Yeah.
We're trying to talk so much.
I done a podcast, and when I started, I'd interrupt because I was getting so excited. I'd be like,
yeah.
But when you just go... And sometimes, girls, I'm not sure if you did it, but sometimes you switch off from what the listener's saying and you're like, right, how can I bring in the next segment?
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah. I'm thinking, so how can I then put in this bit?
But what you learn is that you give a little sly look down, but normally you'd have it in your ear if you was on the telly and then you go...
We try not to go, grunt so much. So we just silently nodding.
Yeah, so
just silently nodding. Yeah, because
I used to smash the world.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
So that will wrap up today's episode.
How long was that?
Half an hour.
Sorry, I just talk so much.
No, we love it. We love it.
It's only because he's got another person coming in.
Fucking hell, mate.
So
how much are they paying for this? God. messing, sorry.
So that will wrap up today's episode. Thank you so much for watching and be here next week at the same time for an amazing episode.
Up the wow hydrate.
Up the wow hydrate. Ooh.